Brings us into reports. First one's up is a second reading of supplemental appropriations as we pass through the process of making our budget right for 17. So, Daniel, please.
Thank you very much again. This item for the second reading of a supplemental appropriations does not have any changes from the first reading. It does include $10,000 for the mayor and council. That's for Code Red, new website, and Civic Plus. The vast majority of that really is for the new website. That was actually part of the previous year's budget, and all of it didn't get expensed during that time, and so the project just carried forward to this current year. Dispatch, and that was... We believe that some of that was for software for the county dispatch system, but also some of it is just flat out that the monthly expenses of dispatch are higher than what they used to be, plus the 911 funds that are used to pay for that continue to be lower than what they used to be. And so the net result is everyone who pays for that pays more than what was anticipated, and that includes the city. And so for this year, it looks like we would run a deficit of about $60,000, and so we're asking for a supplemental appropriations of that amount. Sponsorship of $84,000, that was for some additional property that we leased. One was the bank building, and the second was across from Samson's corner. The city leased those two properties and then subleased those to other vendors and sponsors. The city did that at a profit. Also in the special sales tax, $70,000, that was for the Buxton Economic Development Study. I do want to make sure that everyone knows that SEDC as well as the Chamber did help contribute to that. And so we have received those funds, but still we did have to make that payment. So because of that, that was not originally budgeted. That is coming from additional fund balance that is in the Triple B fund. That Buxton study came up with a lot of demographic and financial information that's been very helpful, as largely SEDC has been trying to assist existing retailers to expand their enterprises and also attract some new enterprises into Sturgis. And then lastly, in the capital improvements, this is $2.4 million. That is a large amount, but I just want to make sure everyone understands that that was to refinance a loan that we previously had. There was a balloon payment that was going to be due shortly, and also the existing interest rate was higher than what we could have had by refinancing that. And so the city did refinance that, the remaining portion of that bond, for 20 years at a fixed interest rate, so it's fully amortized through a local bank, Pioneer. That closed a couple of months ago. And so with that, there was a large check that was written, and so we just need to appropriate that money. That money actually came out of the loan that was opened through Pioneer. Are there any questions?
Thanks, Daniel. I guess it's worth saying that it's the same as it was the first reading. There's been no changes. So
no changes.
We feel we are handled for now and hopefully have no more supplementals, but we'll see what happens.
We do know that there will be at least, you know, one more for some additional minor things, but nothing that would be like $2.4 million.
Thank goodness. Go ahead, Mike.
Any way to, I'm assuming that's a 911 failure. Lack of land.
Correct. This has been an item that the Municipal League and numerous cities, us included, and I believe actually counties as well, have been approaching the state legislature for years, asking for some changes to this. There was a change that went into effect, I think, 4 years ago that did require some 911 tax for wireless, but it was not at the same rate as landline. And off the top of my head, I don't remember what the difference is or how that works, but I know it's not as much as what was being asked, but it was at that time kind of felt to be a success because it was something. But the reality is it's not enough, and this situation is probably going to continue to get worse until the legislature addresses it. And from all of our meetings with the Municipal League as well as with legislators, it does not sound like there's a large appetite for changing any taxes in this next legislative cycle, simply because they've had so many over the past couple of years that I don't think they necessarily want to address that.
What's the status of other cities compared to us?
Same thing. Their budgets are quite red for dispatch services. Actually, this cooperative relationship we have with Meade County, as well as Faith and Somerset, I think also provides some funding in it, is actually a significant savings. If it weren't for that, taxpayers of Sturgis and taxpayers of Meade County would be paying an awful lot more. And it seems that there's a larger drive in the state to have more centralized services like this in order to reduce the costs. That still doesn't make up for the holes, but it at least reduces the cost. But in that sense, Meade County and Sturgis and Somerset and Faith were kind of pioneers in that effort, and we are saving money, even though it's hard to see that you're saving money.
Any other discussion? Come on up, Bonnie, to the microphone, please. We want it recorded.
Bonnie Alberts, I just have a question about the sponsorship, the $84,000, and you said that's leased properties, which we then turn around and sublet.
Mm-hmm.
What was the profit on that?
The individual contracts we can't talk about. It'll be included in the report with the entire rally, because that section does, those numbers are recorded, but they're as a whole, not individuals, because of the contract.
I'm just wondering what the total profit was off of when you take the $84,000 out of what we got for that. We don't have a bottom line on that. We don't know what that is when we do it.
We do know what that is. The thing is, if you release that figure, then it becomes well known how much each of those individual lessees paid for that price, which is not what the city does, as well as any other landowner. But as far as the aggregate total, that will be released, and that is going to be released probably in late October, I think, is when we get the last figures, because there's still different costs that we end up paying, as well as some different revenue that we still haven't received yet from the rally. And so we'll be able to release that, I think, probably in late October.
I'm not quite following what you mean by aggregate.
So there's a line item in the P&L, essentially, I guess is the best way to look at it from the rally. One of the line items is land leases, and so you can see what the total expense was for all the land leases, because this is not the only expense we have for land leases. There are other properties that the city does a similar activity on. And then there's also, on the income side, there's another line for land lease revenue. And so you can look at those two and you can see what the difference is. We do not do that for each individual property, but you can look at it as a whole, as an aggregate, across all the properties that we do.
I just wanted to be sure it's not washing out, and when you say aggregate, that you don't mean a bottom line on the rally. I want to know what it is.
You can see for the land, absolutely. You can see it for the land, but we will not say on this piece of property we made this much money, on this piece of property we made this much.
Is this one piece of property?
No, this is actually two. The 84,000?
Yep.
84,000 actually is for two properties, the old bank that's on the corner of First and Main, and then a property that is a parking lot essentially across just west of the community center. I think the bank was 40,000 and the parking lot was like 44. Not exactly. Those are rounded numbers.
That'll come out in the October report.
Yes.
Any other discussion on supplemental appropriations? Is there a motion? We have a first by Dave. Second by Rhea. This is an ordinance, so we'll go ahead and roll call it. Jason, we'll start with you.
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
I'm yes, and Mike?
Yes.
Ordinance 2017-09, second reading, 2017-08, second reading passes. Subset B is first reading of 17-09, which is the 18 appropriation. So, Daniel, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you very much.
Give us more numbers, even.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I was not able to get my laptop to communicate well with the system, and so that means you'll have a shorter presentation, which I'm sure no one will be upset about. But in any case, the majority of the presentation really was just a rehash of the July 31st, and that's because there are no substantive changes between what was presented and published on the website on July 31st and what's included in front of you today for your consideration. There have been a few minor tweaks as staff kind of is going through the budget. They see that one item wasn't included back and forth, but it was a couple $1,000s in a few different minor areas. In essence, what kind of the headlines of this are is that the city's economy has grown significantly, and we cannot undersell that by any means. If you look at the number of new retailers we have in our community, it has drastically increased our sales tax. If you look at our sales tax revenue, we're averaging over a 5% increase each year. Actually, year to date so far, not that I want to jinx us, but we're actually over 8% higher than where we were last year at this time. That has been a steady trend over the past 4 years approximately. That's because we have a growing population. We have a growing retail base. Because of that, and also because of the profitability of the rally, the city is able to cover more of its expenses through those two income streams than what we've been able to do in the past. In addition to that, the city continues to essentially kind of be leaner than what we have in the past. Each year, our personnel expenses continue to pretty much be flat, even as we continue to provide cost of living allowance raises and other incentives to make sure that we continue to be an employer of choice. And I think you can see that when we have new positions open, we have very qualified individuals that generally apply. And so it's not like it was 4 years ago when a lot of times a position would come open and we would wait a long time before we had a single applicant. Now we actually have quite a few, which is a good sign. But what is amazing to see is that as we continue to compensate employees well, that our personnel costs essentially have remained flat. And it's because we have been able to be more efficient in our operations. We have continued occasionally, when appropriate, to not replace individuals and instead kind of spread the workload. That has worked out very well. Lastly, the council has done a significant infrastructure plan, a five-year infrastructure plan that was adopted last year. That includes a lot of deferred maintenance projects, as well as a lot of projects that are projected out into the future to make sure that we are as efficient as possible. The 2018 proposed budget includes payments that are required to do all of those projects, which will mean a significant amount of construction activity, but also it means that the quality of life of residents in Sturgis will continue to improve for the next several years. So the budget in front of you, I think overall everyone is quite excited about the budget because it does, while not fully funding every request from every department, I think it comes fairly close. And with that, I would like to extend my gratitude to the departments. After doing this for several years, department heads do not really come forward with any sorts of odd requests or large requests. They are very well defined when they come forward with additional requests and well documented and also well researched to make sure that it's the best use of taxpayer money. Because of the hard work of those department heads and also the wise decisions that this council and previous councils have made, we're at the point that we're able to, in the 2018 budget, significantly reduce the city's mill levy. We're actually proposing in this budget that the city's mill levy would be reduced by 7.5%. If you would add that to the previous several years of reductions, it's nearly a 20% reduction compared to where it was just 7 years ago. So it does show a lot of significant progress for us as a community. It goes to show what happens when you have an expanding retail base, when you have expanding number of residences, and when as a community you're able to find other revenue sources that continue to be fairly profitable for the community. Are there any questions?
Just one so everyone knows. The 2017 mill levy was just a little over $7 per thousand, and it's going to be going down to just a little over $6.50 per thousand, right?
Correct. 2018s would be, we're estimating, and just so everyone knows, there can be a couple minor blips in that, but it should be right around $6.62 or 63 cents per $1,000 in value, and it was just over $7. And, you know, it. I don't have, the chart doesn't have all of these. If you look in 1994, it was $10.72.
In 2014, it was $8.
Yeah. So there is steady progress to do that. And really, the good news is as we continue to have more construction, our tax base continues to expand significantly. And while several are under TIFs or under the discretionary formula with the aid of the county, what it does mean is that we know and we can forecast for the next 8, 9, 10 years that our total tax basis is going to be growing significantly for the next decade. That's something that a lot of communities our size cannot say. Yet we know without even a single brand new house being built or new industry coming in or anything like that, that for the next decade, our tax basis is going to continue to grow. And that puts the city in a very good position.
Any other discussion from council? Bonnie, come on up again.
Tell me what it means where it says Parks / West Nile. Is that?
Yeah, that's the Parks Department. The Parks Department, in addition to maintaining park facilities and things like that, also handles our West Nile program. And so for auditing purposes, previously, several years ago, the West Nile program was actually a separate fund for various reasons under GASB and things like that. Those funds had to be combined. And so it's one department now.
Okay. So is that figure 606,000? Is that what I'm seeing?
I think so.
So the West Nile program costs that much?
No, parks as well. So the Parks Department.
Parks and the West Nile.
Yes.
Okay. And then.
Otherwise, that's a lot of mosquitoes that Rick gets to kill.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. They'd just carry me away. Okay. So then my other question, because, you know, I have a heartstring tied to this one. I can't tell. Is there allowance in here for the Rose Street Park playground equipment? Will that happen this year?
That the equipment that was anticipated has already been purchased. And so what's happening with that is the same that we've said for a while, is that we're going through our inventory to see what we have, and that's going to be in front of the Parks Board to identify what equipment should be placed where and what time frame.
So the equipment that was purchased for Rose Park may not wind up in the Rose Street Park?
There's a lot of equipment. We want to make sure that the right equipment is put everywhere. And the equipment that was purchased for that is equipment that could be used in various different places.
Right. But will the equipment that was purchased for the Rose Street Park be placed in the Rose Street Park?
Ultimately, that'll be a recommendation that the Parks Board makes to the council, and the council will decide.
Okay. And then we still have to get it installed. Is that going to happen this year?
I don't know. I mean, right now, beyond just regular maintenance that the Parks Department is doing, their next priority is making a lot of improvements over at the watershed. There's signage as well as fencing that needs to be placed because we're going to be opening that up for fishing here very soon. I don't think we want to announce that right now.
Careful, Daniel.
there are other priorities we have that our limited staff is trying to do. I mean,
so I guess I'll ask again. How loud a voice is it going to take to get Rose Street Park Playground done? Because it didn't happen last year, and it hasn't happened for several years. And then the trail
comes
in the
head
of it
because you
have volunteers, and then now the fishing thing comes because that's a priority. How do we get Rose Street Park to be a priority? Whose voice needs to come forward? How many voices need to come forward? How loud do we have to speak? Get that done.
I would say that starting at the Parks Board is where that discussion needs to happen.
The Parks Board has already had that discussion and said they wanted to see that happening. I'm just saying, Parks Board?
What?
rally with the Parks Board? What do we need to do to support them in their desire to have the city install that park?
What it takes is getting a significant amount of projects done. The projects that have been done so far this year were projects that were identified, I think, like 8 years ago. It's not that these projects are new that every day someone comes up with and says, let's proceed and do that. I mean, Rose Park, even though the equipment was purchased, I think, about 12 months ago, right around that time frame, that doesn't necessarily mean that that was the top of the list at that time. I mean, we've made commitments to the skateboard park, to pickleball groups, to, I can't even name the number of groups that have come saying, can you do this, can you do that? And all those commitments have been made, and frankly, we haven't been able to keep all of them. And so what we're trying to do is go through systematically and complete the projects we can and to get those done.
It would seem that ordering equipment and writing the check to pay for it.
We have equipment that's over 15 years old. That has not been installed
yet.
That's
pathetic.
I'm not going to disagree with you, and that's why we're trying to finish projects.
Okay, and I'm just asking, what do we who have an interest in particular have to do to get it to happen? Because clearly the trail people did something to get that to happen.
What is happening from that, and we're not really doing, the Parks Department isn't doing a lot of additional effort to enhance the trails group. And that's fully through volunteer hours.
I offered volunteer hours, and you said can't take them. The last time
to install the equipment, correct. But what the city, what we need, frankly, is to have fewer projects or to get some of the projects done so we can start some of the backlog of projects. And that's what we've been trying to do. What's that? How we could do that is by having more employees, which would mean not reducing the mill levy that we just talked about.
It's a prioritization thing. Like Daniel said, I mean, back in 2010 and 2011 on Park Board, I was a member of the Park Board, and a lot of those projects are just getting completed now. So it becomes prioritization and it becomes timing. And I mean, keep talking, I guess, at council meetings and go to Park Board or keep expressing.
What I want you to hear is my voice saying, we don't want to be part of the problem. We want to be part of the solution.
Sure.
You know, that's my whole drive always is to assist with the solution, not to just point fingers at problems.
And we get that, but that, again, comes to the point that when you see the number of employees we have and the literally hundreds of acres of property that we have to maintain, there's very little additional time when you get beyond simply mowing and trimming and maintaining, you know, trees and doing irrigation to do regular projects. And that's why it takes so long.
I do get that. And I don't.
I mean, we have way too many acres to maintain.
I mean, you know, they work well. I just like to see this project move along. That solution of getting it. So if you think of something.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other discussion on 2018 appropriations budget? Council or public? Mr. Sheeman.
I'm Roger Sheeman, and if you have a hard time understanding me, I don't have any teeth, so there are a few words I have a hard time pronouncing. We'll continue on the parks thing. I was here at the last council meeting, and it was stated that there'd be $400,000 for the Lions Club Park. Is that correct?
That's within the CIP.
That was within the CIP. That $400,000, I think, was identified for, I don't remember what year. I don't think it's for 2018. What's that?
I thought you said 2018.
No, it's not for 2018.
It's 2020, I think, off of memory.
I think it is something like that. And beyond that, that was a while ago when that was included. And since then, there's been a decision that some of that money should be used to, like I was saying before, to honor some of the commitments that have been made to the skateboard group, another pickleball group, and I forgot all the other groups that we're trying to make enhancements so that we can facilitate all of their needs at a different location. So that $400,000 is no longer $400,000. I think it was whittled down to like 180 or something.
My concern is with the Lions Club Park. I live down there. Along a four-lane highway, that park is probably 50 feet. when you have events going on at the fishing derbies and that type of thing, you put up orange control fence. It'll keep kids from going out on the highway. Now, is that safe for our children to be down there and doing that? I really think you guys should consider not doing that Lions Club Park really hardly anything because of that. And I've seen people walking, hitchhiking, sleeping in that shelter down there at night. I've seen them. And I live right above them. There's rattlesnakes in that area. As you well know, there was one killed last year. It just isn't safe. Now, I understand you're going to close off the hill, Lover's Lane, going down. Is that still happening?
That's the first I've heard of that. I don't...
It was mentioned quite a while ago about closing that off because the access to...
All the plans for that are years down the road. As we were saying before, now, we're still trying to finish projects that were started several years ago. We're not going
to
start that.
This brings me back to my original, what I want to talk about.
Okay.
You tell me every year I got to come in and do something at budget time about Main Street from Nelly to the cemetery and Sherman to the cemetery. You always say, come in at budget time and talk about it. Well, I'm here to talk about it. I'm getting tired of people dragging bottoms of their cars going over Kuzma's Canyons. We have streets down there that have weeds growing in the cracks because they haven't been come down and sealed them. And we got blacktop down there that's starting to fall apart. And you want to spend money, and I was always told that the problem down there is drainage. But if you're going to improve Reliance Club Park, all that water off of Paisley, the cemetery, and all the other ones drain right into that stupid park. So why don't you take care of the drainage first before you start improving down there?
Like I said, as far as the park, that will be years in the future. We're not talking about 2018 or even 2019 likely on that.
But you still won't tell me when you're going to do anything with the streets down there.
The streets in the budget, I think, has been identified approximately, I think it's $150,000 for next year for street maintenance. And then after that, I think it slowly grows up to $200,000 a year.
Are we included in that?
That decision isn't made right now. What that is the streets department looking at all the various roads, what their conditions are, how heavy the traffic is on them, and also what level of maintenance goes into them to bring them up to a satisfactory level.
I don't know. Everybody down there, it just feels like we're driving on a country road. It's that bad. And when you got a funeral down there and you can watch the cars creep over it, it looks like a centipede going down the street going like this, all the way up and down, and it's bad. And that's not fair to the people that have to go to the cemetery for their last ride. To get a rough ride. Admittedly, they may not know it, but it's not right.
The issue, like you said, Roger, truly is there in order to make that a very good street is for the drainage to be fixed on that. The drainage project on that would actually exceed what our annual appropriation is every single year for roads.
Would you say it's never going to happen?
I'm not saying never, but there has to be more money available to do a project of that size.
I understand that, but budget time, bringing this up.
Any other discussion on our 18 budget first reading? Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion to approve the ordinance 2017-09-2018 appropriations budget.
First by Ron. A second by Rhea. Any last council discussion? We'll go ahead and roll call this since we're appropriating $16 million here first reading. I'm a yes. Mike?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
And Jason?
Yes.
First reading is complete on the 2018 budget.